What a beautiful number, and also Billy Gabriel's testimony. Wasn't that great? How the Lord kind of just takes it and kind of completes that circle. And we never know what the Lord is up to. But it takes us to just extend that love to others first. It's called Kahiao. Let me explain a little bit more about Kahiao, the project, October 22nd. This is not a New Hope project, okay? It is an initiative that the Hawaii Pastors Roundtable, about 30 pastors or so of some of the influential churches in the community, and there'll be others that will be adding to this roundtable. We decided that if the church is going to make a difference in today's world, if we're going to advance the kingdom of God, let's do it in a positive way, not where we're protesting negatively against things, but let's show the love of Christ into the community. And so we thought, well, what better way of doing that than by cleaning up the community, taking this island and churches around the island, capital C now. We're going to drop denominational lines. We're going to, you know, just get rid of who's leading what, and we're just going to do it together as a team. And we cover the island with Christians who are trying to clean up the community. We met with the mayor, and the mayor said, would you help us on this day? Because APEC, the Asian Pacific Economic Conference, is coming into town, and we need some help. And so we said, yeah, let's do that as a church. Now, here's what I'm not telling the public out there. I'm just saying this to the church. New Hope has adopted Kapi'olani Park. Why don't we just adopt the whole of Waikiki? And the goal of this Kahiao Day on October 22nd is not to pick up a whole mound of trash, okay? The goal is this. We're going to give you some trash bags with some gloves, and let's walk through Waikiki, and as we pick up rubbish, as we look for rubbish, pray for every inch of ground that we cover. And that way, we'll be covering Waikiki with prayer before the heads of states of these nations in Asia come into town. They'll be coming into a ground that's already been consecrated by the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what Kahiao is all about. We're going to take the love of Christ and go into Waikiki, and let's cover it with prayer. We okay with that? If you want to join us, sign up outside with our concierge table, okay? Love. We're going to be talking about trait number 9 in this book. A church that chooses to love. I think that word love is an overused word today. We use it in so many ways, it's gotten diluted. I mean, we can say in the same sentence, I love my family, I love football, I love Häagen-Dazs ice cream. We say it all together. We run it together, and we lose a sense of what that love really means when it comes to people, especially the lost. And I like reading what kids say about love, because it gives me a good perspective of their reality, especially of what love is. Now, here's some quotes from young ones. Jan, who's 8 years old, she was asked, well, why love happens between two people? What goes on there? And this is what she responded, 8 years old, Jan. She said, no one is sure why it happens, but I heard it has something to do with how you smell. That's why perfume and deodorant are so popular today. Here's Mike, who's 9 years old, and when someone asked him, Mike, what do people do on the first date? Mike said, oh, on the first date, they just tell each other lies. She said, that usually gets them interested enough to go on a second date. Okay, Mike, yeah. Kenny, who's 7 years old. Now, you got to imagine Kenny as he's answering this question. Kenny, is it better to be single or married? And I can just see Kenny saying, it gives me a headache to think about that stuff. I'm just a kid. I don't need that kind of trouble. Kenny. But I love Alonzo. Alonzo, who's 9. He was asked, well, what are some ways to make someone fall in love with you? And Alonzo said, well, don't do things like have smelly green sneakers. You might get attention, but attention ain't the same thing as love. Insightful, huh? Alonzo 9. Attention ain't the same thing as love. Well, what is love? What are we talking about here? Well, let's take a little biblical perspective of love. Is that okay? We're in church. Take a little biblical perspective of what the Bible says about love. We're going to read a scripture in just a second. Very top of your notes, taken out of 1 Corinthians 13. And people will call this chapter the love chapter. Why? Because many times this chapter is recited at weddings. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious. And we hear this recited many times when people get married. Let me just tell you right now that Paul, when he wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 13, did not have weddings in mind. You have to kind of look at the context as to why he wrote this chapter. go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The very beginning, he wrote and what he saw. And he said this in chapter 1. He said, I exhort you, Christians in the church in Corinth, I exhort you, let there be no divisions among yourselves. He saw this church in Corinth that was just being torn apart. People saying, I'm going to follow Paul. No, I'd rather follow Apollos. No, I want to follow Peter. And there were divisions happening within the church. He also saw, as he began to write even more chapters in Corinthians, he saw how Christians were suing one another. 1 Corinthians 6, let there be no lawsuits amongst Christians. There's immorality going on. There are people saying, well, my spiritual gifts are better than yours. You know, I have the gift of prophecy. And they started to fight about which spiritual gift was the greatest. And so 1 Corinthians 12, he writes all about the spiritual gifts. One is not greater than the other. And Paul says, he took a look at all that was going on in this church in Corinth. And he said, hold on, Christians, wait a minute. We're being divided here. What we need is something called love. And that's the context of 1 Corinthians 13. Let's read together what it says, very top of your notes, what Paul wrote there, right? Now, I want you to do this. Whenever we come across the phrase, but do not have love, I want you to underline that in this passage, all right? Let's read it together. Ready? Go. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. What do you think Paul is saying there? He's saying it doesn't matter what your church looks like. Doesn't matter whether I can recite the Bible from beginning to the end. Doesn't matter what kind of songs I can sing with the vibrato in my voice. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much I give out of my pocket. And you know, for me, you're not going to get very much. But it doesn't matter. Even if I give everything that I have for the sake of the cause of Christ, if I do it without love, if love is not the motivating factor, if it's not the underlying reason why I do all these things, it means nothing. It doesn't mean a thing to the Lord. Everything has to be motivated by love. It has to be intertwined with love. Otherwise, it falls apart. Pastor Wayne caught that, and he wrote in his book, in chapter 9, he says this in this one simple passage here. He says, if a person merely attends church because he wants a safe place for his family to learn about God, or ministers to his neighbor because a pastor told him to, or serves food to the homeless because he senses an inequity in the world's distribution of resources, or attends youth group because he wants a fun place to go while his parents attend the church services, then that action or ministry will almost always wane over time. The greatest and most sustainable motivation for ministry must be love. We must serve because we love God and love others. Without love, we won't have the sustained impetus, the strength or energy to risk over the long haul. You know what he's saying there? And what Paul is saying and what the Lord is saying to us? That if we want our ministry to continue. How many of you would want New Hope to be around for another 150 years? You guys want that? You know, because of the ministry that has changed our lives, we would want this church to continue and to sustain itself over the long haul. But you know what it's going to take for that to happen? Love. Love for our Lord Jesus Christ and love for one another. Otherwise, we can have the biggest church in the world, folks. We can build a huge sanctuary that'll seat, how many? What's big enough for you? 20,000? 30,000? 50,000? We can build an arena that seats 50,000 people. We can have speakers that tell the best jokes, and we can have the best lights and the dances, and we can sing the greatest song. But if love does not exist within this church will fall apart. This church will end, it will split, and we will not have Sorry, I get passionate about this. We will not have a ministry that will sustain itself. There has to be love intertwined. That's why the Lord says through Paul, if we do all this without love, it doesn't mean a thing. Well, how do we do that? See, the problem, folks, with the church today, I don't think the problem is understanding God's word. I think there are a lot of resources, a lot of books, a lot of great speakers and teachers that teach us about God's word. I don't think the problem is understanding what the Lord is asking of us, what he commands us to do, what he instructs us to do. You know what I think the problem is? The problem is the performance of what God is asking of us. Yeah, we know that God says to love with all that we have. How do you do that? How do you love somebody who's wronged you? How do you love somebody who's talking stink behind your back and you know what he's saying? How do you love someone who has scarred your life? How do you take the word of God and the instructions that he's given us and perform that and live that out with love? Anybody has problems loving someone right now in your mind? Don't raise your hand. That person might be in the room right now. I think we all have that sense at one time or another. But there's someone that we just cannot love the way that God wants us to love them. How do you deal with that? Well, let's start somewhere. Number one, would you write this in your notes? Begin by loving God first. How's that? Let's just start by loving God. See, without loving God first, we won't be able to understand the love and the kind of love that we can receive from him. And then it becomes impossible to love the unlovable. If you can't love the person God has placed around you, start loving him first. And the degree to which you love that other person will be the same love that you have for the Father. The degree to which you can love that other person will be the same love that you extend to the Father. So if you love that other person just a little bit, I'm just going to try this now, then you're loving God the same way. If you love this person only if, and you set certain conditions and reservations behind that, then you'll be loving God the same way. The degree to which you love the other person will be the same as which you love God. You cannot love the other person fully unless you love God fully. Because love is from God. 1 John 4 says that. Let's read together what 1 John 4 says. Ready? Go. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So you cannot love the other person until the love of God is in your heart. Well, what if I can't stand the other person? I can't stand to look at the other person. Well, then don't look at him. Well, I don't want it. When he calls me, I don't want to answer his call. Then don't answer him. I don't want to look at he writes me these emails. What do I say? Don't even answer his emails until you press into God first, until you begin to love God first. Because when you press into God first, you open up your heart that God can now scrub out the things that are in you that's blocking and filling you up with you, and God can then pour his love into your heart. It's from the overflow of his love to you that you begin to love others around you. You won't be able to love those around you if you're not overflowing with that love. See, sometimes we say, well, okay, so the Lord says to love one another. Man, I'm so dry on the inside. Yeah, it's hard to suck something out of nothing, right? Sometimes we got so much junk going on in there that we cannot extend love this way. Don't worry about that. Well, he's been in my life. I know he's in your life. Might be your husband, might be your wife. It's okay. Just push into who? Press into God first. Make that your priority, just right now. James says that, James 4. Let's read what James says together. Ready? Go. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James just tells it like it is, huh? I love that about James. I'm having trouble loving this person. James says, don't worry about him. Submit to who? God. Why? Because God is love. Love comes from God. James gives us this lesson, folks. Spiritual warfare, all right? We all know about spiritual warfare going on all the time. Here is plain and simple, spiritual warfare 101. In the world, there's either God or the things that are not of God. Is that simple? The world is either black or white. It's either of God or it's not of God. It's of the enemy. It's simple. Now, I know young people in today's world, we try to color between the lines. We say, no, it cannot be black and white. There's a lot of things going on in between. I think you're too legalistic. I think you look at things too plainly. It's either of God or it's not. We have trouble today in the world because of this one word. It's called tolerance. And we tolerate things in between the lines. And we get all messed up. But when you look at what James is saying, you submit to God, you resist the devil. There either is God or there is the enemy. If you have love in your heart, that's of God. If you don't have love in your heart, that is of the enemy. It is. So what are you going to do? Press into God or press into the enemy? Press into God, James says. Press in so close that the Lord can start to fill you so that you can begin to resist pride. You can resist ego. You can resist selfish ambitions. And as you press away from the enemy and you fill yourself up with God, you then can love one another with the overflow that's coming out of your heart. See, we get confused too many times. Too many things we tolerate in the middle. We don't know which way to go. The Bible makes it real plain. We submit to God first, not the other person. You press into the Lord. How do you press into the Lord? Pray. My goodness, let's just pray. Let's start there. Let's pray that the Lord will clean our hearts. Let's pray for the other person. Let's pray that the Lord will give me eyes to see the other person like how He sees them. Give me a heart to love them like how He loves them. Do your daily devotions. The Word of God will scrub you on the inside so that when, not if, when a situation arises where you need to extend that love to the other person, you're ready. You're ready to go. And it won't take that much longer to scrub out some things. You know, I get emails all the time. And some I respond to, some I go, I don't know if I should respond to this or not. Here's one that was sent to me, and I keep these. Listen to what this person says from the get-go, right? This is the very first line. Pastor Elwin, where do you get your morality? Said, oh, okay, let's read this one. So I'm reading it, read some more, I won't read the whole thing. Person says, you are the inverse of Christ. Said, oh, okay. Says, your impotence to function at the most elementary level of the good is disillusioning evidence that you have not internalized your own sermons. Wow, all right, let's read some more. So I'm reading this and the person says, the good is external to you, foreign to you as a Christian. You are blind to your own darkness, and I feel empathy for the few authentic Christians that subscribe to your religion because you give them a bad reputation. Your Pharisaical auto-hypnosis leaves you alone as the joke, along with the weak-minded believers to whom you peddle plate lunches and keychains and window decals and other quaint ideas. How you like that, huh? Anybody want to respond to this one for me? You know, in my old days, I would have taken this, pulled out my laptop, and go, who the heck do you think you are? Do you want to talk to me? Let's talk face to face. Don't hide behind a computer screen. You know, let's meet. We can talk. I can talk. In fact, if you're here, I'd love to meet you after the service. You know, we can talk about this. But in my old days, I would have done that. Instead, I took this, and I showed it to my wife. I bounced things off of Joy a lot. I showed it to her, and I said, so what do you think? And she said, well, is it true? I said, oh, you tell me, you know. But I looked at this and I did this. I set this before the Lord and I said, Lord, if there is one word of truth in here, show me and clean out my heart from that. Because I need to be able to love this person just like how you love them. And I prayed for this person And I pray that God would give me eyes to see the person like how he sees, to love. And I had to really set that before the Lord to make sure that I'm okay. Otherwise, I won't be able to love this person. See, there'll be times that you're going to get faced with things like this. Am I the only one, by the way, get these kind of things? You know, we're going to have to go through these things, but how are you going to respond? How are you going to love them? It's all fine, by the way. I said to Joy, don't send me emails anymore. Just talk to me. We can talk face to face. But we'll come across these moments in life where the Lord is going to test you. The Lord's going to test you to see what's in your heart. Why not start now by pressing into God, by submitting to Him first? Resist the devil so that you can build up that reservoir of love. And you can extend that to others. The other is this. Number two, stay connected to the source. Stay connected to the source. To love is not an overnight thing. It's not where you can say the night before, oh Lord, give me all the love in the world so I can love everybody that I hate tomorrow morning. And you wake up and bang, it's so nice. I love everybody. It doesn't happen that way. The kind of love that the Lord is talking about is something that needs to be nurtured. It needs to be cultivated. And the seed that's planted in your heart will only grow to the extent that you connect up to the right source. We connect ourselves to different sources in today's world to define that love for us. One source is television. You watch a lot of television, and you will begin to define your love by the love you're seeing on TV. You go to the movies, nothing wrong with going to the movies, entertainment is fine. But if you begin to see the love that's shown on the silver screen and connect up with that, your love will be defined by what you see there. And you're going to say to your husband, how come you can't love me like he does in that movie? That was such a good movie. Now you're connecting to a source that's redefining love for you. What source are you connected to? Little guy Jared, when he was in preschool, comes home and he says, yeah, I broke up with her, this girl. I said, what do you mean broke up? He said, yeah, I was married to her, but I broke up, and now I'm married to somebody else. I said, what? What are you talking about? And Joy heard that, and she says, how many times you got married? He says, I got married twice now. She said, no, don't be like your father. You get married once, only once. And we thought to ourselves, where did he pick up these words from? Break up, divorce, married, makeup. You know where he got it from? Television. Sometimes we connect up to those sources and we define love by what we're seeing. The Lord tells us where our source should be. Let's read together John 15. In your notes, ready? Go. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Underline the phrase, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You know what the Lord is saying there? The fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, right? If you want to have the kind of love that I'm trying to teach you, that I'm trying to convey to you, then you need to stay connected to me, says the Lord. Stay connected to the vine. You are the branches. If you want to bear fruit, connect up with me. I mean, you go to a mango tree, what kind of fruit you're gonna find under the base? Mangoes. You to walk under an avocado tree, what do you think you're gonna find under the avocado tree? Avocados. It'd be funny, you stand under the avocado tree and you go, oh, bananas, oh, pears, oh, pineapple. You know, it's kind of strange. It doesn't happen that way. The Lord says the same thing. With the kind of love that you wanna have, that I wanna give you, you gotta stay connected to me. What is that fruit that the Lord is talking about? You will bear much fruit. Well, Paul gives us an idea of what that is. He now takes it in Galatians and expounds and defines what that fruit is. Galatians 5. Let's read that. Ready? Go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Paul says, notice the words, the phraseology he uses is very important here. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit. And then he lists how many things? 9 different things. Well, why isn't he saying the fruits of the Holy Spirit. If you do a word study, he intentionally used fruit as the singular. Because he's saying there is the fruit of the Spirit. But there are all these different manifestations, expressions of the same fruit. What is that fruit? The fruit of the Spirit is, guess what? Love. And there are all these different expressions of the same thing. Let me explain it this way. When the Lord says, I'm the vine, you are the branches, and talks about fruit coming from the vine, what fruit comes from a vine? Think about his days now, not today. Don't tell me lilikoi. Nobody have lilikoi over there. What fruit comes from the vine? Grapes, right? Grape cluster of grapes comes from the vine. Well, I want to show you this. Okay, it's not shrimp. You guys spoiled already all the time. I bring food out here. This is a cluster of grapes. Now, we pick this from the vine. How many fruits do you see here? It's just one. You see a cluster of grapes, but the fruit itself is one. The grape is growing in different fashions, in different manners. You have some that are large. You have some that are small. You have some that are, oh, sweet. You have some that are really sweet. You have some that are growing not as fast as others. Take a look here. Can you see real close here? See this tiny little one right here? Can you see that? You see one right next to that? What color is that one? Little green. Is not yet grown up to be like the other grape. Does it make it any different? Is it a different fruit? Same thing. And Paul might just be saying to us, the fruit of the Spirit is love. But the expressions of that love is love, is joy, peace, patience, kindness, all these different expressions. Now, this is what he's saying. Because it is the same fruit and it has all these different expressions, you cannot pick and choose which expression you want to have and neglect the others. It's all one and the same. You cannot say, well, I love the guy, and I'll be kind to him, but man, I hate thinking about it. No, it doesn't make sense. Well, you're asking me to have self-control. I cannot control myself right now because, yeah, I love the guy, but he just sends me off, man. My mind just goes off whenever I think of him. Then you're not loving him because the expression of that love is not consistent with what you're saying. If you're loving him, if you're great, even though you may have that are underdeveloped yet, you still have to love him as a package deal. Now, if you're lacking, because some parts of you, patience maybe, kindness, hasn't yet grown and developed yet, pray that the Lord will help you to develop that. Pray that the Lord and the Holy Spirit will cultivate that, that you stay connected to the source so it gets nurtured and it grows to where God wants it to be. Then you can begin to love the person how the Lord wants you to love them, with everything. It's not a smorgasbord, and you can pick how to love the person. If you're gonna love them with peace, patience, kindness. Well, I don't want to do that. Then focus on the Lord first. Just go to the Lord. See, we need to know that we're not going to be able to do this alone. It's humanly impossible to gain all of this that we're talking about and begin to express that. It has to come from the Holy Spirit. John 17, the glory which you have given me, Jesus is praying to the Father now. He says, the glory which you have given me, I've given to them, the disciples, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. The Lord is saying to his heavenly Father, just as you love me, that same love I want to extend to them so we can be all together as one. And so when the Father, you love them, and I love them, says the Lord, and we love one another, man, now you're talking unity. Now you're talking about a ministry that sustains itself for thousands of years. But it has to come from the Holy Spirit. And once you begin to understand that about love, number three, would you write this in there? Initiate, don't hesitate. In other words, to love one another, and to get loved in return, it starts with who? with me. We go first. We all want to be loved, don't we? We all want to be loved genuinely. Not where it's just a facade or just an illusion of love. We want to be loved even with our mistakes, even with our faults. We want people to just love us for who we are. You know where you're going to find that kind of love? When you begin to extend that first to others around you. Kahiao, where you extend it without expecting anything in return. Paul says that in the book of Romans and Ephesians. We're going to read those two scriptures that I put together there. Let's read that in succession. Ready? Go. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. It starts with us. See, we got to give love first. Be willing to give that love first before it's going to start coming back to us in different ways that we may never even realize. Let me tell you about a man named Doug Nichols. Doug is a man who went to India to be a missionary, and he really wanted to share the gospel with those in India. He took stacks of books and Christian tracts, but he needed to learn the language. No sooner did he arrive in India and began to take these lessons that he contracted tuberculosis, which put him in a sanitarium. Sanitarium was not a pleasant place to be in. It was unclean. It was just packed with patients, all suffering from different diseases. Doug tried to share the gospel with patients and doctors and the staff, but because of the language barrier, he couldn't get through to anyone. No one wanted to look at any books he had. No one wanted to take a look at any of the tracts that he had. He began to get very discouraged and disappointed, thinking that the mission the Lord had sent him on was now going to be a failure. Well, one night when he woke up, which he did every night, with his uncontrollable cough, it's caused by tuberculosis, he found himself coughing. But as he looked across the room, he saw an elderly man who had sat himself up on the bed and curled himself into a ball and began to totter his body back and forth, rocking himself as if trying to build up a momentum to where that old man could finally stand up. The old man tried and tried and tried, but just couldn't find the energy to get himself to his feet. Man laid back on his bed, and Doug watched as that man began to just cry and weep to himself. The next morning, Doug realized why that man had been trying to get up. He needed to go to the bathroom. But because he couldn't, his bed was a mess. And the other patients would walk by, and because of the stench that's in the air, they'd make fun of him, they'd tease him. Even the nurses that came to clean up that bed began to tease this man. In fact, one nurse started slapping him because now she had to clean up his junk. That man laid back in his bed and he wept uncontrollably that whole day. Well, the next morning, again at 2 o'clock, Doug woke up with his cough, looked over and saw that man again, curled up in a ball, starting to rock back and forth. And Doug wrote, he said, I looked over, and I really didn't want to do it, but somehow I managed to get up to walk across to that man's bed. And I helped him to stand, but he was too weak to walk. He said, I took him in my arms and carried him like a baby. He was so light that it wasn't a difficult task. I took him to the bathroom, which was nothing more than a dirty hole in the floor, and I stood behind him and cradled him in my arms as he took care of himself. Then I carried him back to his bed and laid him down. As I turned to leave, this old man reached up and grabbed my face and pulled it close to his and kissed me on the cheek. And he said what I think was, thank you. The next morning when I awoke, there were patients waiting, and they asked if they could read some of the books and the materials that I had brought. Others had questions about this God that I worshiped,
and His only begotten Son who came into the world to die for their sins. In the next few weeks, I gave out all the literature that I had brought, and many of the doctors and nurses and patients in that sanitarium came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Doug said, "What did I do? I didn't preach a sermon. I couldn't even communicate in their language. I didn't have a great lesson to teach them. I didn't have wonderful things to offer. All I did was take an old man to the bathroom. Anybody could have done that." What did Doug do? He initiated, didn't he? He took the first step. He walked over and he offered kahiao without expecting anything in return. You know, the people in that sanitarium, the doctors, the nurses, the patients, they didn't care how much Doug knew until they knew how much he cared. And there are people in our community today, folks, people in our church, friends, family, they really don't care how much we know about the gospel until they see how much we care about them. That's what a church who chooses to love is all about. Offering ourselves, extending the love that we've received from Christ to those around us in such a way that it'll express the gospel, the good news. And if we can be a church that chooses to love first, imagine what this world could be like. Can we be a church that would choose to love and extend that to those around us? Can we be like that? Amen. Amen. Let me pray for you as we conclude. Father God, thank you so much for loving us first. We love because you first loved us. Even with all the mistakes and trouble that we may have caused in life, even though we fall short so many times, again and again, you still love us, don't you? Lord, if we're having trouble loving those around us, Father, we want to press into you, even starting right now. We pray that if there's anything within our hearts that needs to be cleaned out, that by your Holy Spirit and by your word, you begin the process right now so that we may receive and be filled with your love. Thank you, Lord, for the unending love that comes from you. Love that changes and transforms us from the inside out. If you're here this morning and you've never yet received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me give you a chance to do so. What it means is that in your heart, you want to open that up so the Lord Jesus Christ can begin to fill you with love. You might be having some trouble loving those around you. It's okay. We all walk through that in life. But you'll never understand how to love fully those that God has surrounded you with until you understand how much He loves you. And He loves you. There's nothing you can do to earn that love. There's nothing you can do that will make Him love you any less. He just loves you, but you need to receive it and you need to accept that. He's waiting. It's our choice now to open up our hearts. If that's you this morning and you want to say, "You know, Lord, I want to live differently. And I tried living my life my way, and it's never been good enough. Father, I want to live for you. I want to open up my heart and start the process of receiving that love from you." If that's you right now, would you raise a hand? You're saying, "Yeah, that's me, Lord. Yeah, right there. Good, brother." Keep your hands up so the Lord can see your hearts. Right in the back there. Good. Anyone else? Keep your hands up. Yeah. This side. Here. Okay. Good. Can you put your hands down? How many of you would say, "You know, there's someone in my heart. There's a name that the Lord may have dropped in there right now that I know I need to love. I need to love them fully. Oh my goodness, I've held back. Lord, give me the courage. Fill my heart, oh God, so I can love them like how you love me." If that's you, would you raise a hand right now? You're saying, "Yeah, Lord, help me to do that." Yeah, a lot of us go through that. You can put your hands down. If you just said yes to Jesus Christ for the first time, we have a yes packet available for you. It's completely free. It has a Bible in there. It'll help you to understand your love and the love that the Lord has for you. Go pick one up. You'll have it outside. People will be holding it up. Tell them of the decision you just made. We want to celebrate this time with you. Can we say this prayer together before we leave? I'll say the prayer. Would you repeat it with all your hearts? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you that you came and died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Thank you for loving me. Help me to love others the way you love me. Fill my heart with your love so that I may extend it to those you've placed in my life. And now I say this so I can hear myself, so those around can hear, so you can hear me, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Lord and Savior. I belong to Him in Jesus' name. Father, that's our prayer this morning. We lift up this time to you. We will now live differently than when we first came in, loving you and others with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all say together, amen, amen. Welcome these who said yes for the first time. Let's all stand as we sing this last song. Someone as you go.